Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Y'all, it's Thanksgiving, and the kids are coming home. Or are they? Y'all, the day before Thanksgiving, y'all, an elderly man who lived in Phoenix, y'all, he called his son in New York, and he said to him, "Son, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other. And so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her." Frantic, the son called his sister on the phone. "They're not getting a divorce," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." She called Phoenix immediately, and she said to her father, "You're not getting a divorce. Don't you do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother right back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a single thing. Do you hear me?" Y'all, the man, he turned and talked. He hung up the phone, and he turned and he said to his wife, he said, "Okay, honey. The kids are coming home for Thanksgiving, and they're paying for their own flights." Your Thanksgiving, that is a great, your family get-together time. Your is when most y'all get together and eat and share and laugh and have a good time and demonstrate your love to one another. Your, I vote for loving one another. Your, for some, your, they're not fortunate enough, y'all, to be with their families on Thanksgiving. Some are, and for those who are, y'all, we need to be really thankful for that. And those of us, y'all, who are not, y'all, we must also be thankful because, y'all, we are all blessed. Y'all, I saw an article, y'all, about Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was entitled, "Arnold's Toys." Y'all, Arnold, y'all, he was not only worth $800 million, but you know, he also loved his toys, and he had plenty of them. Your Arnold, you know, he smoked $4,000 cigars. You know, he wears shoes that cost as much as $5,000 a pair. You know, he wears $3,000 Italian suits, and has a $12.5 million Gulfstream jet. And you know, when it comes to cruising, oh, he and his family, I mean, they did it in style. I'm talking about your owner, a $4.5 million 88-foot yacht. And he also, you had a great fondness for Hummers, those oversized SUVs, which runs you all anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000. You all, this brother got 9 of them, estimated to be worth $1 million. The first one he bought, y'all, was $117,000. Y'all, when we hear about people like Arnold, y'all, most of us, we tend to become somewhat envious and would like to have more money, more material toys. But y'all, we are already blessed. 1 Timothy 6 chapter 17 through the 19th verse, it says, "Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so misunderstood, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." You know, we are the rich of this world, and we shouldn't, you all, be arrogant with it. You know, the guest speaker, you know, who had just returned from the Peace Corps, you know, he was troubled about, you all, the apathy of American church members. Now, y'all, on this particular night, y'all, he was late to an Atlanta, Georgia church. Now, after the opening hymns had been sung, y'all, he marched up to the pulpit. You know, he hadn't changed his clothes after 10 hours of work on a farm. Clumps of mud and manure clung to his clothes and boots. The aroma filled the church. The people began to whisper. You know, his sermon was short. He said, "You act shocked as though I was a costume clown, but you're the ones wearing the costumes. 75% of the world is dressed like me. Half of the world went to bed hungry tonight, but you stuffed yourselves and fed the dog and still threw away a good meal. Something is wrong with a country that lets grain rot in the silos while bodies rot away in other nations. What's more, you don't even care. When I leave tonight, I will be remembered as the misfit. You will not think of yourselves as the strange ones, but you are. And the strangest thing of all is that you don't even realize it. I mean, just by being an American, I am one of the richest people on this planet. The rest of the world wants what we've got, and we're not going to give it to them. My brothers and sisters, we are rich in America, far richer than we realize. We are abundantly blessed." Now, you're our text in 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, 16th through the 18th verse. You know, it gives us some of the attitudes and actions of Thanksgiving, which you all should be a part of our lives. Number one, be joyful. And number two, give thanks. Be joyful always. You're a joyful person is a joyful person. I mean, you know, a thankful person is a joyful person. And a joyful person is generally really a thankful person. You know, the story is told of two friends who bumped into each other on the streets one day. One of the friends, you all look hard-pressed, almost to the verge of tears. His friend asked, "You all, what has the world done to you, my friend?" You all, the sad fellow said, "Let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. Within 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never knew died and left me $85,000 clear and free. Sound like you're being blessed." "No, hold on, man. You don't understand. Wait, listen," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt, she passed away, and I inherit almost $250,000. Now he was really confused. "Then why are you looking so gloom?" The friend said, "Well, because that was last week. But this week, nothing." Y'all, isn't that the way y'all many of us are? I mean, y'all, we're blessed, y'all, in certain ways. Yet we expect more all the time. The brother said, "What, nothing this week?" As if he did not just get blessed. You know, we're not as joyful as we should be. And that's because, we don't realize, what we have already been given. 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, the 7th verse. "For who makes you different from anyone else? And how do you believe that you received these things? And if you did not receive these things, why do you boast as though you did?" Everything we have, we receive it from God. I mean, our jobs, our incomes, our houses, our land, food, clothes. I mean, you name it. We have no right to boast as if we provided these things for ourselves. Every good thing is from above. And there should be no boasting or indifference about it. Not on our parts. I mean, never. Leslie Weatherspoon. He told about eating with a couple, in Northern England right after World War II. Now, food was still scarce. But the wife, she managed to prepare a fine meal of fresh trout, by a nearby stream and some fresh vegetables that were cooked in a delightful way. Well, he enjoyed the meal greatly, and when it was over, well, he thanked his hostess for it. She blushed rather shyly, and she said, "Oh, sir, my husband, he never thanks me when I prepare a fine meal for him." Weatherspoon said that he felt a little embarrassed for the husband, but he realized, y'all, that the husband, he wasn't embarrassed at all. He just yelled out, "Now, come on, honey. Now, you know I would have told you if I didn't like it." You know, isn't that how we are so much of the time? Instead of you all being humble and thankful and appreciative, you know, we're quicker you all to complain if our blessings, you all, are not just the way we want them or the amount we want. You're the young man. You know, he was feeling very proud of himself as a brand new college graduate. You know, he had taken the CPA exam, and he passed them with flying colors. And now, y'all, he was a full-fledged certified public accountant. His father had been an immigrant of the United States. Now he owned his own little business. Y'all, filled with self-importance, the young he began to criticize his father's way of keeping books. He said, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you made. Over here, in this drawer, are your accounts receivables. Over there are the receipts, and you keep all of your money in the cash register. You don't even have any idea of how much you made." The father answered, "Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now your brother is a doctor. Your sister is an art teacher. And now you are a certified public accountant. Your mother and I own our home. We have a car. And we own this little business. Now add that up. Subtract the pants. And all the rest is profit." Add it up, my brothers and sisters. Yo, that's exactly what we need to do at Thanksgiving. Add it all up. Yo, we came into this world, y'all, with nothing. Nothing but the eternal soul, y'all, that God has given us. Yo, everything else is profit. Yo, we have all profited quite well. So we really, y'all, should all be joyful. And number two, give thanks. Yo, a thankful person, y'all, is quick to give thanks to God in all circumstances. And like the story of the lady who pulled up to the drive-through window at the bank. You know, the inside teller was, you know, facing the sun all afternoon. So he pulled the shade down, you know, to keep the sun from getting in his face. And of course, you know, as he pulled down the shade, it made it impossible for his customers to see him through the window. Now, you know, he could look out and see them, but they couldn't look in and see him. Now, as the lady, you know, she pulled up to the window, you know, he pushed the button and the drawer, it moved out to meet her. You know, she put in her deposit and the drawer, it withdrew. Well, a few moments later, you know, the drawer, it returned to her with her deposit slip and the money that she had requested. Well, she counted the money and then she put the money in her purse. Well, she looked at the window, but unable to see anybody, you know, she said, "Well, I suppose you're totally automated, but I just feel I ought to say thank you anyway." "Good job, lady. More of us should be that way," said the teller. Yo, we should be thankful, y'all, to God and to all the people, y'all, who bless us in life. Yo, we should be thankful to God, y'all, for those, y'all, even though we may not know them or even see them. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, Paul here, he didn't say you all give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. You know, all of our circumstances in life, you know, they're not good, but there will always be something, you know, in those circumstances for which to give thanks. And when Robinson Crusoe, y'all, was shipwrecked on a lonely island, y'all, he thought of both the good and the bad. Y'all, he was cast on a desolate island, but he was still alive. Not drowned, y'all, as all of his ship company was. Y'all, he was divided from mankind, but he was not starving. Y'all, he had no clothes, but he was in a hot climate where he didn't even need them. Y'all, he was without means of defense, but he saw no wild animals. He had nothing to speak of, but God, y'all, he sent the ship so near to the shore that, y'all, he could basically get out of it all things necessary for his survival. So he concluded, y'all, that there was not anything, a condition in the world so miserable, but there is something positive for which to give thanks. And, y'all, we can do the same thing. No matter, y'all, how bad our situation or our circumstance might seem to be. Max Lucado, y'all, he tells about living as an American in Brazil. One day, y'all, he was walking along the street on his way to the university to teach a class. Y'all, he felt a tug on his pant leg. Turning around, y'all, he saw a little boy about 5 or 6 years old with dark, beady eyes and a dirty little face. The little boy, y'all, he looked up at the big American and he said, "Bread, sir, bread." Y'all, he was a little beggar boy. And Lucado, he said, "There are always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil. Usually I turn away from them, because there are so many, and you can't feed them all." But there was something so compelling about this little boy that I couldn't turn away. So taking his hand, I said, "Come with me." And of course, I took him into the coffee shop. Max told the owner, "I'll have a cup of coffee and give the boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants." Since the coffee counter was on the other end of the store, Mac, he walked on and he got his coffee, forgetting about the little boy. Because, see, little beggar boys, they usually all get their bread and run back into the streets and then just disappear. But this one didn't. You know, after he got his pastry, he went over to the big American and just stood there until Lucado felt his staring eyes. Lucado said, "I turned and I looked at him. Standing up, his eyes just about hit my belt buckle. Then slowly, his staring eyes came up until they met mine. The little boy, holding his pastry in one hand, looked up and said, 'Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.'" Lucado said, "I was so touched by the boy's thanks, I could have bought him the store. I sat there for another 30 minutes, late for my class, just thinking about the little beggar boy who came back and said thank you." My brothers and sisters, y'all, if a little Brazilian beggar boy could make Mac Lucado's heart bubble, y'all, I just wonder, y'all, if we could make God's heart jump up for joy when we say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you very much." Y'all, for God, this is your God's will for our lives, that we give thanks and praise in all circumstances. So now, as we come upon this wonderful, this beautiful, this occasion called Thanksgiving, y'all, God has given us an opportunity to spend around time with persons that we love and they love us. They know us, we know them. They respect us, we respect them. But we also know, y'all, that there are no perfect families, and there are fractures in families, and there might even be confrontation. But, y'all, if we come into a thought process where it wants to steal the joy of this wonderful occasion, y'all, let us not allow that. Y'all, if nothing else, y'all, let us meditate on my closing words. and they say these things. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Once again, my brothers and sisters, I say to you, happy Thanksgiving, and may God bless you, may God keep you, is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.